Let's get down to business, taking a look at Wall Street. Dow Jones Industrial Average up 196 to finish at 21,899. S&P 500 up 24 at 2,452. NASDAQ Composite up 84 at 6,297. Russell 2000 up 14 at 1,371. Yield on the 10-year Treasury up 3 basis points at 2.21%. Oil up 28 cents at $47.65 per barrel. Gold down $6.90 at $12.85.40 per ounce. While the stock market is overvalued, price-to-earnings ratios are too high. Investors are too complacent. The volatility index is still below historical averages. Federal Reserve isn't just planning to raise interest rates, but plotting a reduction of its $4.5 trillion balance sheet, which can add to the effect of monetary policy tightening, further increasing borrowing costs. All good reasons why the stock market should collapse. Instead, the Dow Industrial Average just had the best single day of trading since April. Here's the key point, the thing that really does matter. The trend is up. The trend has been up for 8 years. A trend in place is more likely to continue than it is to reverse. A trend can keep going for a long, long time. At some point, the trend will indeed reverse. But that was not the case today. The market has slogged along the past 2 weeks with a minor pullback. Yesterday, we called that a pause, and sure enough, today the market hit the play button. But we have not seen anything yet to confirm a trend reversal. Some individual stocks may have already reversed, but the major bull market trend remains in place. Markets do not go up in a straight line. They fluctuate. It may seem totally irrational that the market can just keep rolling along like this, but the market can remain irrational far longer than individual investors can remain solvent. That does not mean that we should disregard the recent pullback. The recent declines should remind us that the relentless bull market will not last forever. When that fateful day finally comes and stocks begin their painful unwind, will you be ready? Probably not. Just as you develop a plan for what and when to buy, you should also have a plan for when to sell. Maybe you're in it for the short term or the long term. Maybe you can handle 5% risk or 10% or 20%, whatever your plan. Make sure you have a plan and that you stick to it. The holy grail of successful investing is not buying momentum stocks in an uptrend. It is not investing in a bull market when stocks pull back. The holy grail is discipline. A fairly good plan executed with discipline will beat a brilliant plan with no discipline. Last night, Trump laid out his strategy for Afghanistan. Confronted with a series of bad options, he chose one and explained it to the public in a national address short on details. We don't know how many more troops will be on the ground. We don't know what those soldiers will do. We don't know when it will be over or if it will ever be over. Best guess is that about 4,000 troops will be added to the 8,000 troops in country. Trump singled out Pakistan for harboring Afghan Taliban insurgents and other militants. Trump's call for India to play a greater role in Afghanistan may actually constrain Pakistan and lead to the opposite of what he wants. After 16 years, it's hard to guess what difference that will all make. He did not lay out a timeline, which might be a smart move. The one thing Afghan fighters do know is how to wait out occupying forces. Trump says we will stay until there is peace and victory. Identifying peace is subjective. What will determine whether we are winning or losing? The plan seems to be that the war will continue until something good happens. In Afghanistan, that might be a very, very long time indeed. Shares of U.S. defense companies rose: Northrop Grumman, Boeing, Lockheed. Next stop for Trump, Arizona. He'll address a rally and perhaps protesters about his border wall and other issues. Large protest expected near Trump's rally in downtown Phoenix. The rally scheduled for 7 p.m. at the Phoenix Convention Center, Trump's first visit to Arizona as president. According to the Arizona Republic, more than 3,900 people had indicated on Facebook that they would attend one event, protest Trump downtown Phoenix, across the street from the convention center. Another 2,700 said they plan to attend White Supremacy Will Not Be Pardoned. That's organized by Puente Human Rights Movement. Other protests also scheduled. Governor Doug Ducey was planning to greet Trump but not attend the rally. Trump has discussed a pardon for former Sheriff Joe Arpaio, but some of his advisors are reportedly concerned that such a move would add fuel to the firestorm surrounding the president's recent comments about race and further divide the country. Arpaio had committed a crime by refusing to stop detaining suspected undocumented immigrants despite a court order. He faces up to 6 months in prison and is to be sentenced in the fall. Arpaio said on Monday night that he would not attend the rally. House Speaker Paul Ryan held a town hall on Monday night, said tax reform should be easier to pass than a health care overhaul. Politico reports, meanwhile, that Trump's top aides and congressional leaders have made significant strides in shaping a tax overhaul. Sources familiar with the talks told Politico that there's broad consensus on some of the best ways to pay for cutting both the individual and corporate tax rates. Options include capping the mortgage interest deduction for homeowners, scrapping people's ability to deduct state and local taxes, and eliminating businesses' ability to deduct interest, while also phasing in what is known as full expensing for small businesses. That allows them to immediately deduct investments like new equipment. The Senate Health Committee will hold two hearings next month on stabilizing premiums in the individual insurance market. That, according to the panel's chairman and top Democrat, the first, scheduled for September 6th, will feature state insurance commissioners. The second, on September 7th, will have testimony from governors. The hearings come in the wake of the Senate's failure last month to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare. The Obamacare plan sold on the individual market. Bloomberg has gathered up what we know so far about what will be the new iPhone 8. The new smartphone arrives with some lofty expectations. After all, this is the 10th anniversary of the original iPhone. Apple plans to release three new phones, successors to the iPhone 7 and iPhone 7 Plus, as well as a new revamped model that sits at the high end. All will have the usual upgrades like faster processors. The display will use a technology called OLED, which makes for better color reproduction, deeper blacks and whites. The screen will also take up nearly the entire front of the phone, save for thinner bezels and a notch at the top of the front to fit the new camera and new sensors. But don't expect lots of new stuff. Rather, look for improvements to existing stuff. Wells Fargo CEO Tim Sloan said that forthcoming results from the bank's review of its consumer sales scandal could cause more negative attention. Sloan also said that within a few weeks, the bank will announce the completion of an expanded review by a third party of the fake consumer accounts workers had opened. They were pressured by aggressive sales goals, a practice Wells Fargo has since ended. In an August 4th quarterly 10Q filing required by the SEC for public firms, Wells Fargo said it expanded the review period to 2009 through 2016, and that could reveal a significant increase in unauthorized accounts. The bank will also send notices about the process for customers to make claims against the bank, and they're compiling a list of additional customers who complained an account was opened without their consent. Well, yesterday, Berkshire Hathaway's $9 billion all-cash deal for power transmission company Oncor was terminated after Sempra Energy emerged as the victor, outbidding Berkshire Hathaway. Warren Buffett's conglomerate has been battling with Oncor with the hedge fund Elliott Management. Berkshire has a nearly $100 billion war chest of cash to make deals. Today, S&P affirmed Berkshire's AA rating and a stable outlook. Berkshire had been on review since July after bidding $9 billion for the Texas power transmission operation. Berkshire A shares today hit $270,960. B shares rose to $180.61, both all-time highs. Even when Buffett loses, he wins. Here is a reminder about the National Park Service's Lifetime Senior Pass. Now, I mentioned this about a month ago, but the deadline is fast approaching. It's next Monday. The passes grant lifetime entry for citizens who are older than 62 to more than 2,000 sites and parks across the country. Due to legislation passed in December 2016, these lifetime passes will jump from $10 to $80 on August 28th. If you go to just one park, that $10 pass pays for itself. So, just a reminder, you can do it online by mail or at one of the parks. Yesterday's solar eclipse was bigger for Facebook than any of the last four Super Bowls. Facebook says some 66 million people worldwide created 240 million interactions about the eclipse. Last year's Super Bowl pulled in 64 million to Facebook. Monday's obsession with the eclipse shows that Facebook doesn't need a massive TV event to draw Super Bowl-sized crowds. The social network has long pitched to advertisers that it can deliver a Super Bowl-sized audience every day. But now we know it can deliver a Super Bowl-sized audience for events that have nothing to do with sports or football or traditional TV. And millions of people yesterday took tens of millions of photos. And there are probably 20 or so that are actually good photos. So in that sense, yesterday was just like every other day. Dow Industrial's up 196 to finish at 21,899. S&P 500 up 24 at 2,452. NASDAQ Composite up 84 at 6,297. As always, we invite you to follow along at moneyradio.com for live streaming and archived audio, and the daily blog, text, audio, and much more at eatthebankers.com.